Blog Talk Radio.
Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another. Also, this is our We Pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesdays through Fridays. We pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. This is why we are here. To pray one for another. And if you would like a prayer request, I am here taking prayer requests from 6 to 7 p.m. I also bring a devotional message
And I also play our inspirational music. And if you have a prayer request, you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our sermon or ministry or our program without inviting the Holy Spirit to be in the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. Welcome to Pray One for Another. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesdays through Fridays. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own visionary Apostle Ardy Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson in basic Christian theology. Praise be to God. So if you want to join us and participate in our lesson this evening, again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And at this time, I am taking prayer requests. In the meantime, I will play another selection. Praise God.
You said, who is this that speaks of wisdom? And answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have love.
Amen. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, in weak moments, we may try to build ourselves up by placing ourselves ahead of others. But you want us to be humble servants to those who need our encouragement, our help, and our love. Today, we will do our best to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ, by serving others humbly and faithfully and lovingly. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that's all you have to do is call in your prayer request. Maybe there's someone that you want prayer for, a loved one or a family member, a friend, or even your neighbor, or even an enemy. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart to have a prayer for, we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
remember, he's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship his name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before him, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
You're listening to
Sunday morning. gonna give the Lord his day. And everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. I'm gonna give the Lord his day, and everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. In the presence of his grace, in the presence of his grace, oh, in the presence of his grace, yeah, in the presence of his grace.
Praise God in the presence of his grace. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Okay, our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening is coming from Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 27 through chapter 2, 6 through 10. Amen. And it says, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Verse 29 says, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Chapter 2 of Colossians 6 through 10, and it says, and now, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow thankfulness. Verse 8, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Colossians 1 and 27, and it says, God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise God. And the title of this message, it's Jesus. The writer says, during an episode of the popular U.S. television talent competition, America's Got Talent, a five-year-old girl sang with such exuberance that a judge compared her to a famous child singer and dancer in the 1930s. He remarked it, "I think Shirley Temple is living somewhere inside of you." Her unexpected response, "Not Shirley Temple, Jesus." I marveled at the young girl's deep awareness that her joy came from Jesus living in her. Scripture assures us of the amazing reality that all who trust in him not only receive the promise of eternal life with God, but also Jesus' presence living in them through his Spirit. His Spirit. Our hearts become Jesus' home. Jesus' presence in our hearts fills us with countless reasons for gratitude. In Colossians 2:6-7, he brings the ability to live with purpose and energy. Colossians 1:28-29. He cultivates joy in our hearts in the midst of all circumstances, in both times of celebration and times of struggles. Philippians 4:12-13. Christ's Spirit provides hope to our hearts that God is working all things together for good, even when we cannot see it, Romans 8:28. And the Spirit gives a peace that persists regardless of the chaos swirling around us, Colossians 3:15. With the confidence that comes from Jesus living in our hearts, we can allow his presence to shine through so that others cannot help but notice. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. What blessings of Jesus' presence in your life encourages you today? And how might you share him as the reason for your hope and joy? Think about those two questions. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for making our heart your home. Please help us, help our life to reflect your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. To God be the glory. Again, at this time, you can call in your prayer requests, and we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection by the Wiki Tones, Jesus Saves. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Prayer changes things. It changes you and it changes other people. So pray. Keeps us in constant communion with God, which is the goal of our entire believing lives. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I will be a woman of prayer. I will pray about matters great and small. I will bring my concerns to you, Father. I will listen for your voice. I will follow in your footsteps of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Prayer changes things. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory, because prayer does change things. Hallelujah, Jesus.
To go at the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Never say never, or come what may. Rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a Sunday. Come what may, for there's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh.
Praise be to God. God has a plan for your life, a divine calling that you can either answer or ignore. How you choose to respond to God's calling will determine the direction you take and the contributions you make. There is wonderful freedom and joy in coming to recognize that the fun is in the becoming. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have called me, and I acknowledge that calling. In these quiet moments before this busy day unfolds, I come to you. I will study your word and seek your guidance. Give me the wisdom to know your will for my life, and the courage to follow whatever you may lead me, wherever you may lead me today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, This is Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and we are taking prayer requests from 6 to 7 p.m. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection because this is what the program is all about, to pray one for another, because a family that prays together stays together. To God be the glory.
Saying goodbye to the memory I hold.
Praise God. Again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204, and you can call in your prayer requests at this time. I'm here taking prayer requests. Praise be to God. In the meantime, I will play another selection, and at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle Arthie Wiggins will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Selection, On to the Next Level. Praise God.
On to the next level. Our God is always in control. No matter what you're going through, He's taking you. Yeah.
To remember that every day is cause for celebration. Today we will try our best to keep joy in our hearts. We will celebrate the life you have given us here on earth and the eternal life that will be ours in heaven. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So at this time, I will turn this part of our program over to our very own Apostle Ardy Wiggins, and we are going to welcome him with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. Praise the Lord. Thank God for each and every one of you.
Can't hear you.
Truly, I thank God for every one of you today. And it's truly a blessing from the Lord to be here with you. We're studying Ryrie's Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. I hear somebody making a whole lot of noise. That must be outside in the cold.
Sister Barbara, can you put yourself on mute?
Yeah, I was just opening the book, but okay. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, good evening.
How are you?
I'm going to work it out.
Yeah.
I'm blessed, highly favored. Glad we're starting on time.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so in my absence, whenever I'm not here, Sister Barbara can handle the class until I get there. Okay? She has the book, so she can handle the class.
Yes, sir. I will simply do that. Yeah, but you will be too late, though, right?
No, it's okay. We just, you know, just setting up, you know, sometimes when things happen. Sometimes
okay.
You gotta have
my pleasure.
You got to use your people. You know, you got people that are able to do things, you utilize them.
Yes,
that's
you're right. I would be honored, yeah.
Their ability. But, you know, you can't just put anybody in the same thing. You got to try to do, you know.
Amen.
Why we co-label with God? That means we got to think. I say we co-labor with God, so that means we have to think, you know what I'm saying? That's what happens when you co-labor with God. It's your brain, and you think about things, and you do what makes sense.
Amen.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. The Bible is a spiritual book and also a historical book. So there's truth in it. And things that happen, we deal with a culture of people. There's certain truths that we have to understand in order to be able to understand the word itself. You have to look at the truth that it presents. And then there's prophecy. So there's spirituality, but then they both work hand in hand. All right, so we up to creation of angels. And do you remember where we left off?
We're in chapter 19, and we're at they are spirit beings.
All right, Sister Barbara, you can pray us in.
Chapter 19.
Yeah, you just pray us in, and then we'll figure this out.
Precious and heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come together just to say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, making a way out of no way, Lord, allowing us to come together on this line one more time to give your name glory, praise, and honor. Lord, we appreciate everybody that's on this line, everyone that's going to come on the line. All the listeners, God, just bless them, keep them, heal them, touch them, and feel the things that they need to have accomplished in their lives. Lord, we thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and just bless the apostle that's going to facilitate this lesson. Keep him and guide him, love him, and lead him. These blessings I in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're up to there. They are spirit beings. Amen. This is the second
division.
Yeah. It's not a chapter, but you know, I guess you could say it's the second part.
We did spirit beings.
Roman numeral 2. They are spiritual beings.
We
angels,
did that.
We did that. All right. Then where do we finish that? They are mortal and do not propagate. Did we do that? Hello?
No. We can start there.
Father God, we just thank you and we pray that you'll come to my mind all regularly. They are mortal and do not propagate. We're talking about angels. And the number of angels is and always will be the same. The Lord taught that angels do not propagate baby angels in Matthew 20 and 30. It says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. All right? And they do not die, for they are not even able to die any longer, because they are like angels and are sons of God, because they are sons of the resurrection. So those are the ones that are resurrected, right? However, the wicked angel will be punished in a place of separation from God. Matthew 25 and 41 says, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, you accused ones, into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the evil and the devil and his angels. And he began imploring him that he would not order them to depart into the abyss. So that's from Luke 8:31. So what do we think about that fact that angels do not propagate? How many of us knew that angels do not propagate? And how many knew that they do not die?
I didn't know these facts. I mean, I had an idea, but I didn't know that, you know, the number of angels is always and will always be the same. Like, these facts I did not know.
Okay, that's an honest answer.
I guess I kind of did think they were baby angels. I thought they were baby angels. I don't know.
Who else going to talk? Come on.
We read something about that in one of the previous lessons when it said something about, goodness, I can't find it. It's in chapter 17, I think, when it said something about they don't have sex or something like that we were talking about for a minute. I have to look for it, but I don't have it.
Yeah, but that's you're right. We talked about Matthew 22 and 30, which is the same thing. Well, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. But like
That wasn't really it.
Okay.
I would have to look for it.
But they're spirits. They don't have bodies. So how would they, have children?
But people see them. So they're not just... Yeah, when Jacob wrestled with the angel. People say he's God, he's the angel. He was not just a spirit.
So, Pastor, what do you say?
Well, that's what it says. They don't need sex to create. I know that Adam and Eve, they could live eternally until they ate from the forbidden fruit.
I think the word was they don't procreate. I'm not sure.
Right,
they don't procreate.
Right.
I'm saying that's the word I was looking for. I still don't see it, but that kind of comes to mind when we were talking about it. They don't have babies.
The writer to Hebrews said that when our Lord became incarnate, he became for a little while lower than the angels. So the angels are higher than men.
Angels are said to be
know, but the thing is, that's a form of faith. We were up to the ranking of angels.
They are higher creatures than men. Part four.
Ranking angels is number three.
Really?
After
they
what?
Are immortal and do not propagate.
Wait, what chapter
that's,
are we in? Eight? Okay, I'm getting to it.
Chapter 19.
All right, here, I got it. So... they are immortal and they don't procreate. Let's talk about that. Did we talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Just finish that. You start at part four.
Right. Okay. So now, they are higher creatures than man. The writer to the Hebrews said that when our... Hey, you can read this one, Nadine. Go ahead.
The writer to Hebrews said that when our Lord became incarnate, he became for a little while lower than the angels. And that's in Hebrews 2, 7 and 9. Could you get that, Hilda?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 2, 7 through 9.
Okay.
Seven.
Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now, when
is it them
says,
or he? Him. You'll say them or him?
No. Him. You made him.
Them.
Him.
Your Bible says them?
Yes.
You made him for a short time.
Yeah, but she's
time.
Reading from her Bible.
I don't know. I don't know which one, but it's you
I'm
made
reading
him.
From the New Living Translation.
Read it from
yeah,
the
Yeah, I don't like that translation. But go ahead. Continue.
All right, I'll read it from the...
Go to the New American Translation. It's like, you made him for a
okay,
short
so
time lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You subjected all things under his feet. For in subjecting all things, he left nothing that was not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we see Jesus for a short time made lower than the angels because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. So that apart from God, we might taste death on behalf of them.
And I just want to say that this is a good example of how the interpretation of the Bible. Because why is it important for this scripture to say you made him. And how was Jesus made for a short time lower than the angels? What made him for a short time lower than the angels?
Because he became flesh.
Yes, Pastor, I wasn't asking you, but thank you. Because we already know that this is like, they say they're higher creatures than man. And this is specifically talking, this verse is pointing to Jesus, where it says, and see, this is how you can get a bad interpretation. Because if your Bible is saying you made them for a short time lower than the angels, that's like so off.
But let me
and
say
you
something.
And crown them with glory and honor? No.
Can I ask something?
Jesus. Yes.
Okay, it starts at 2 and 5. I'm reading the message. It says, God didn't put angels in charge of this business of salvation that we're dealing with. Here, it says in Scripture, what is man and woman that you bother with them? Why take a second look their way? You made them not quite as high as angels, bright with Eden's dawn light. Then you put them in charge of your entire handcrafted world. When God put them in charge of everything, nothing was excluded, but we don't see it yet, don't see everything under human jurisdiction. That's the them that I believe Evangelist was speaking about. And then it says, what we do see is Jesus, made not quite as high as angels, and then through the experience of death, crowned so much higher than an angel, with a glory bright with Eden's dawn light, and that death, by God's grace, he fully experienced death in every person's place. So at first they were talking about them. Yeah, he was talking about man and woman. I think he was trying to quote Psalm 8. I didn't read Psalm 8, but I think that's a part of it. That's
yeah, but that's only in those two Bibles. But, you know, this verse, Hebrews, I mean the reason this part of Hebrews, especially chapter 2 to chapter 4, is all mm-hmm. about Christ. You know, they're making reference to Christ. They're not making reference to you and I. You know, and that's why that interpretation bothers me, because that's not what this interpretation was supposed to be about. It's about Christ.
Can you read 2 and 5? Can you read 2 and 5?
Hold on.
2, 5 through 6.
Okay. So Hebrews chapter 2 in the New American Standard Bible says, for if the word spoken through angels proves unalterable, and every transgression and every disobedience receives a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard it.
Is that
God
true?
Also, that was, yeah, I'm starting. This is Hebrews chapter 2, right? Yeah.
2 and 5?
I'm starting from chapter 2. Yeah, I'm starting from verse 2. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter
no, verse
2, verse
5.
2.
Chapter 2, verse 5.
Oh, okay. I thought you said to read up until verse 5.
No. Read 2.
And so it says, for he.
5 through 6.
Okay, 5 through 6.
Sorry.
For he did not subject to angels the world to come concerning which we speak, but one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have appointed him over the work of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subjected to him. So it's still referring to him. Jesus.
You're right. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how does that relate to what the writer is saying?
Well, the way that this relates to it is showing you that if Jesus was at the point that Jesus was man, he was lower than the angels, which confirms the fact that we are lower than the angels, because even Jesus was subjected to being lower than the angels when he, for a short time, when he was in the flesh, like you said, on
when
this
he
earth.
Was from Virgin Mary. When he was born from a virgin.
Right, he became flesh.
Mm-hmm. So I'll continue.
When he was
although there are...
as a child.
Yes.
Started from that point.
For the 33 years of his life. He was lower. He was for his 33 years.
He
was a man that was crucified.
As soon as he came out the womb.
But wait a minute.
As soon as he popped out that womb, that was it.
But wait, no, because he did things that man can't do.
But as soon as
but you remember, if you know, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God.
Exactly.
When he walked on this earth, he was still 100% man for a short period of time.
Y'all don't confuse the issue. The issue is that he was incarnate. And he became a little lower than the angels when he came out the womb because he was in flesh. So when he came out the womb, then he became incarnate in the flesh, God in the flesh. Because he
so
was born from the spirit. Took the spirit of God.
Should I continue?
Is it like the second Adam? God blew a spirit into Adam. Isn't that why they call it the second Adam? Because he's born of the spirit.
But can I just say that to me, when he was performing miracles and giving sight to the blind and all of that, he was not lower than the angels. The angels didn't do that. That was the deity.
I mean, like to say that his work on earth is his work as God in the flesh. So his work was done through his holy will. So there's a holy will of God that's in place. So everything that happened was supposed to happen. Because God willed everything into existence. His will is progressive and ever-changing. So his will for that time was what it was. That's the will of God, what happened. The will for
and
what
I,
happened.
I think, too, that, you know.
The will that we hear talking today is still the will of God. God's will is progressive. We are here talking. So I think this is good to think about propagation, but this is like looking at I think it goes on to say that although there are problems connected with writers' use of Psalms 8 in this text, it does seem clear that incarnation plays Christ in a position lower than the angels. Though, of course, this was only temporary, true during the time of humiliation on earth. So, That's the point where he's risen. That's a different, you know, manifestation of Christ, right? It's because man was created in that, right? What do y'all think? Are y'all reading this? I gotta have some kind of thoughts about this.
Is mother on the line?
No.
No.
Not tonight.
Okay.
So, can you read that? Who's supposed to finish reading? Finish reading that, Nadine. You only read half of it.
Well, you took over.
Well, you didn't complete it, so I had to, you know.
Because you took over.
But you can talk about it and go ahead. Just, you know, let's put it in perspective. Please.
Although there are problems. Oh, you said all of that already. This is because man, who was created in the image of God, is lesser than God by nature. He is also lower than angels, since they belong to a class of superhuman beings, Elohim, who are stronger than man by nature and unlike man, not subject to death. Okay. So I finished it.
Well, what does that add up to? Interpret.
Okay. I mean,
break it down into ebonics.
Man is lower than the angels because angels cannot die. You know, they're the same. They don't procreate, you know, and they don't die. And man does. So that's what puts them. And because they are also superhuman beings, and they're much stronger than man by nature. So that puts them, because they're superhuman, that puts them above man.
Elohim. Superhuman beings. Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Than man by nature and unlike man, not subject to death. All right. Sister Barbara, can you do they were originally holy beings?
Yes. The Bible gives little specific evidence about the original state of the angels, though we know that when God finished his work of creation, he pronounced everything to be good, Genesis 1 and 31. Someone want to get that?
Sure. And God saw everything that he had made and behold, it was very
good,
and there was
deep,
and there was
on. Jude 6, also, thank you, indicates that originally all the angels were holy creatures. Some were elect, 1 Timothy 5 and 21.
I testify solemnly before God in Christ Jesus and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing according to partiality.
And others sinned, 2 Peter 2 and 4.
All right. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but held them captive in Tartarus with chains of darkness, handed them over to be kept for judgment.
Presumably, all might have remained in that original state of holiness, and those who did not rebel were confirmed forever in their holy state. In other words, those who successfully passed the probationary test will always stay in that original holy state. Those who failed are now confirmed to their evil. rebellious state. To sum up, though, there are similarities between angels and deity and between angels and men. Angels are a distinct class of beings. Like deity, but unlike men, they do not die. Like deity, they are superior in strength to men, though they are not omnipotent as God is. 2 Peter 2:11.
Whereas angels who are greater in strength and power do not bring against them a damage or a demeaning judgment.
Like both deity and men, they have personalities. Like deity, they are spirit beings, though not omnipresent as God is. Men, by contrast, are both spirit and material beings, James 2:26.
For just as the body without spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead.
Angels do not procreate as men do, Matthew 22:30.
For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but like angels of God.
Man was made a little lower than the angels, and yet, in his resurrected and glorified body, man will judge angels, 1 Corinthians 6:3.
Do you not know that we will judge angels, not to mention ordinary men?
Amen.
What do you think about... how would you explain what you just said and break it down for us? Originally holy beings.
When they were first created.
About the deity. I'm confused
deity.
About deity.
It's deity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's godlike.
Yeah, but who were they? Who's the, and angels and deity? I mean, I only know one God, or three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So is that who this writer is referring to?
But I don't think they're calling, he's calling the angels God. He's saying, looking at
I know
the
he's
second
comparing
paragraph.
The angels.
Excuse me?
I know he's comparing the angels to deity.
Right. So he's not saying that they are deity, but there are similarities between angels and deity, between angels and God. He's saying also that...
like Christ.
I'll just say God, they are superior in strength to men, though they are not omnipotent. They are not all-powerful as God is. Like God and men, they have personalities like God and spirits.
They're not everywhere
as God is. And right. Men, as contrast, are both spirit and material beings, and angels don't procreate. We see that. And man was made a little lower than the angels, and yet in his resurrected and glorified body, man will judge angels. Basically, I just got the impression that when angels were first created, they were holy. And then as we saw in various, everything was good, like we saw in Genesis 1:31. God made everything, and when he had done with everything, he said it was very good. And then we see where we had the elect angels, and we had some that sinned, and they were all going to be holy except for those that fell. And we know that a third of them left heaven with Lucifer, all right? And so those are the demon spirits that are, I guess, still living, forever living, until they will be judged.
So deity refers to the triune?
It refers to God. I would just look that up. Can you just look it up? It's God.
It's a capital. They put deity in capital, mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that it is referring to God, but it's just that when I've, you know, usually when you hear deity,
well, it's
gods. It refers to other gods.
In polytheistic religion, it's a god of
knowledge. But it is capitalized.
It did.
So it's a particular
fine status, quality, or nature. So a ruler driven by delusions of deity. Well, anyway, a divine status, quality, or nature. Christ was divine, was a deity to that. The creator or supreme being in a monotheistic religion as Christianity. So the creator is a deity or supreme being. Hello?
The thing that makes it different, and I'm looking at it, is if deity is capitalized, it's referring to God, the Father. And if deity
right.
is not capitalized, it's referring to other gods.
But I'm saying that, look at it, how it has a polytheistic meaning where it's male and female, God and goddess. But in a monotheistic religion, it's the creator and supreme being.
Yeah, we say the okay. same thing.
So it's the creator and the supreme being in the monotheistic. So, I mean, I think that's definitely different from a god or a goddess. So it's good to make note that that's polytheistic, you know, the belief in many gods, whereas a belief in one god is the creator and supreme being. That's very important because supreme being is in other languages. As the supreme being, even though they had other gods, they still had one God who was the supreme God. So I'm glad they kind of pointed that out. So, you know, a deity in a human is like a representation of a god or goddess, such as a status or Harvey. You know, so they had where they reached a certain deity, so they was looked upon as god and goddesses. Okay? So I think, you know, we could look at that word deity and know that it has several meanings, you know, according to the text. So between angels and deity and between angels and men. Angels are a distinct class of beings like deity, but unlike men, they do not die. So would you say a bloodline could be a deity because it doesn't die because everybody marries into that bloodline or something?
No.
No.
The bloodline, what makes that a deity?
Well, what about monarchy? Like, did they consider themselves a deity?
No.
What do you mean by monarchy?
From a human perspective. Because in the thing, it made a mention of that human. It says a representation of a god or goddess. So even a human can say, well, we're a deity. They're a representation of a god or goddess. So it's like a monarchy. Kind of like trying to be a deity. You know, so you either born into the family that, you know, probably that thing.
So what are you saying a monarchy is?
I'm saying it has like that representation of a god or goddess. So it's
but I'm deity. Asking you, what are you considering a monarchy?
The word for deity is a representation of god or goddess, such as a statue or carving.
You're not answering my question.
Bless
you. What's a monarchy? What are you saying a monarchy is?
Well, a monarchy is like when you have a king and a queen.
Okay. So that's not considered a deity. It may be a deity to the people and that they have to...
Of the way they think, they might feel as though they're god and goddesses.
Right, like, they have to look up to them, they have to be obedient to the king, and otherwise they'll lose their head and all that kind of stuff, in that sense. But even then, if I may add, if the deity, let me just add this part, Even then, it's a deity with a small d. It's not a capitalized deity.
I'm not saying that. I wasn't disputing that at all. I'm just saying that.
No, I'm just saying that's the only way I could see it as a bloodline looking up to a monarch as a deity.
They consider themselves a deity. It's a state of mind that they have.
Yeah, like they're supreme. Yeah, that's true.
Like they have some power.
They do. They are the authority. But God has authority over them.
Right.
Amen.
In the end, he does. He has authority over everything.
In the beginning, the middle, and the end, he has authority.
The realization of God, when they're ready to pass, then they come to the realization of God.
Okay.
I don't know. It seems that way.
Hilda?
But
yes.
Hilda, you still here?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
You know what I think, too?
Coming?
I think that tight spot, and we got God in us, we just all holler out for God because we've been taught to. We depend on God. So when we don't have control, then we holler out to God as Christians. We look to Christ. So, you know, he performs a lot of miracles in our lives. Because we always,
mm-hmm.
always continue to look toward him. Now we're in
chapter 4 of
the angels. So now we're going to talk about the number of angels. We start off talking about the number of angels. Even the large number.
Yeah, you're going in and out.
All right. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to talk about the number of angels, part one, in this next chapter. So this is the organization of angels, chapter 20, part one, the number of angels. Angels constitute an exceedingly large number that cannot be counted. The sense of myriads, which is used to describe the number of angels in Hebrews 12:22 and Revelation 5:11. In Hebrews 12:22 it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the tens of thousands of angels, to the festival gathering." And it said in Revelation 5:11, it said, "And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels and around the throne of the living creatures and of the elders, and their numbers were 10,000 times 10,000 and 10,000 times 1,000. Revelation 5:11. Indeed, that latter verse states that there are myriads of angels. How many this might be have unspecified. So some have suggested there are as many angels in the universe as the total number of all human beings throughout
history.
Possibly implied in Matthew 6:10, where it says,
that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven constantly see the face of my Father who is in heaven."
So there is no increase or decrease in their number, whatever it is. So what do y'all think about that?
They're myriads of angels. Can't count them. No man
myriad.
Knows the number.
Mm-hmm. Myriad, you're a myriad years old.
Watch yourself.
You're angels, the myriads.
Watch yourself. Myriad.
They don't die.
They multiply. How they multiply? But okay.
The fact of
you know what I like about this scripture, Mark 18:10, and I think, you know, like you know how Matthew 18:10, you could use that like a bully. It's like, because basically it's the parable of the lost sheep, right, which are us. And it's, and it's just to read it again, it says, see to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven are constantly seeing the face of my Father who's in heaven. Don't mess with me, because my angels are watching you. And reporting back to the car.
Angels got my
back. Angels got my back. Thank you for supporting me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
That's right. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Angels got my back. Don't even try it.
Exactly.
Right. Well, always remember he casts in those whom he loves. Anyway, he got your back, all right. You messed up.
Yes.
Messed up here. He's going to get your back. Anyway.
Can I read what it says in the message? 18:10?
Yes.
It says, watch that you don't treat a single one of these childlike believers arrogantly. You realize, don't you, that their personal angels are constantly in touch with my Father in heaven?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I love it.
You better recognize.
Love, you better, right?
You better recognize.
That's beautiful.
Yes. The scriptures speak of the assembly and council of the angels in Psalms 89:5-7. It says, and so the heavens will praise you, your wonderful deed, O Yahweh, even your faithfulness, the assembly of all the holy ones, angels. Ooh. And God feared greatly in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all surrounding him. Psalms 89:7. So of their organization for battle. So the scripture speaks of the assembly and council of the angels. So this was, that was Psalms, the council of their organization for battle in Revelation. They got an organization for battle. Uh-oh. Santa thrown down from heaven on earth, Satan. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. Uh-oh. And of a king over the demon locust. They
have Revelation 9:11.
The angels of the abyss whose name. Whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek, he has the name Apollo, Apollyon. So that was of a king over the demon locust. They are also given governmental classification, which indicate organization and rank. Ephesians 3:10, in order that many-sided wisdom of God might be made known. Now the rulers and the authorities in the heavens placed through the church. So in order that many-sided wisdom of God might be made known now to rulers. Okay.
Made known now to the ruler and the authorities in the heavenly places through the church.
Good angels and in our 6:12, it talks about adding, because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against rulers, against authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's very, like, I remember the first time I read that. That makes you stop and think, like, yo, what? Okay, unquestionably, God has organized the elect kings as Satan has organized the devil. An important practical point emerges from this. Angels are organized. Demons are organized. Yet Christians, individually and in groups, often feel that it is unnecessary that they be organized. When it comes to fighting evil, believers sometimes feel that they can go it alone or expect victory without any prior organized preparation and discipline. It is also true when it comes to promoting good, believers sometimes miss the best because they do not plan or organize their good works.
That's true.
Right. Here comes the truth. The ranking of angels.
Yay.
Well, I say we'll start there.
Okay. Yeah.
Because this is going to be a minute.
Ooh, yeah.
This
that looks exciting.
The ranking of angels. And we're going to actually get out on time today. So thank God for being a little more punctual.
Yeah.
Amen. It's always good to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
We have a little bit more integrity. Amen. Somebody has some integrity for the Lord. Okay, so I just want to say that the words of our meditation of our heart, the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart, acceptable in God's sight, O Lord, our strength and our weakness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back over to Miss Hilda.
Okay, so if anyone have anything that they would like to say about the lesson tonight, please feel free to at this time. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I just want to say that this, I'm just enjoying this whole section. I'm learning so much, you know. I think I've kind of taken angels for granted, you know, but learning more about them, you know, puts them in a totally new perspective. And it's just so awesome. So I appreciate this lesson so much.
I just want to say that I enjoyed this also. We kind of, you know, look with glee to just the thought of it when it was first introduced. Chapter 18, the creation of angels, brought a lot of happiness on our faces. But this is beautiful, and I especially like the Matthew 18 and 10. That is so wonderful. That is so, so beautiful. But thank you, everybody. Thank you, Apostle, for... I keep saying, for choosing this book, the books that you choose are just, you know, we need them. We need them.
Yeah. Right.
And this really kind of brought tears to my eyes. This is a wonderful lesson. Thank you again. Beautiful.
Thank God for His presence.
Thank God.
The Spirit works on you. Just pray. You know the asthmata, the drowning of tears.
Somebody's
Holy Spirit is here. We thank God.
Invite
the Holy Spirit into our lives. Amen.
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 Unto you that the Holy Spirit comes in. Amen.
Amen.
Well,
good night, everybody.
The word of God can make the change, can make the difference. Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
The word of God.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, He died for us. Amen. He died for our sins. So we thank God for it. So I don't know. What happened to Van Nuclear? You still here?
I'm here. Just waiting so I can...
Take your mic back. Just take it back.
No, go ahead. I mean, like...
Take it back.
I'm enjoying everything that's being said, so why would I take the mic?
Take the mic. Do what you got to do.
I just want to say one more thing. Well, two more things. Apostle, did you get to call Carol Smith?
I didn't get a chance to call her.
You got my text, right?
Oh, okay, I got to check it.
Okay, you didn't read it. Okay. She's in the hospital. She might be out now.
Okay, I'll call her.
Okay, and I just want to say that happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I didn't get to wear my green today, but I was in the house.
Me neither.
But happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Love
Amen.
You all.
Same to you. Love you guys.
Carol, Father God, we just pray that you just watch over her, allow your Holy Spirit and your angels to go into the hospital or wherever she is, that you might for a speedy recovery, Lord, that you grant her healing, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, that you manifest for healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Doing that.
Okay, so I'm going to say good night to everyone. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And
you too.
And I will see everyone on Sunday. Praise God.
Well, some will try to see you on Saturday, but okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know where my brain is today. I don't know.
As long as I see you, okay?
Hey. Y'all have a blessed night. Love you all. Shalom.
You too. Love you. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.